to our visitors with us or haven't been here, let me explain that on Sunday mornings we are looking at the Gospel of Peace. It's a series that I've kind of stumbled upon for the beginning of the new year. And as we've gone along, we've rather inadvertently seen there are certain things that rob Christians of God's peace. On chapter 20, I'm reading verse 24 to 31. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading. May he give us understanding as we come. Now today, 9 people are going to profess publicly their faith in Christ. And many people in this church this morning have publicly professed Jesus as Savior and Lord in the past, and there will be those here in church who have not professed that faith yet. And the Gospel of Peace is made available to all categories of people in this congregation this morning. And I assume that everybody is interested in peace, peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of conscience. For peace is an asset that people cannot buy, and peace seems to be in short supply in our society today. The report of a survey in the Observer newspaper a week before last indicated that there are many people in Britain getting sadder. Britain as a country is getting sadder, in that unhappiness and depression is becoming Britain's fastest growing epidemic. And a professor from the Institute of Psychiatry, Geoffrey Gray, commented on the figures of the survey and said this: "The stresses of modern life are to blame. We are designed to cope with acute stress, the kind that would see someone running from a lion." Don't know if I could cope with that myself. If I met a lion in Main Street or the Christen Church car park, I think I'd be paralyzed or immobilized. But let's concede the point. We're equipped to cope with this, he says. "But modern stress is prolonged, and we human beings are not designed to cope with that." And so peace today seems very elusive. Have you found that? So let me bring to you the message of John chapter 20. Those who teach preachers to preach say that it's always a good idea for the preacher to try and summarize his message in a very short sentence. So here goes. The message from John 20, it seems to me, is this: only faith in Christ brings true and lasting peace. Let me say that again. Only faith in Christ brings true and lasting peace. That's the message this morning. So perhaps some of you are saying to yourselves, well, if that's the case, why doesn't he close, say a short prayer, announce the next hymn, and we can finish the service earlier? And the answer to that is because I've got to demonstrate that this is true from the Bible and from the Gospel. Now, it's not only stress that robs people and Christian people of peace. I want to think with you this morning about doubt. Stress really is to do with that which is on the outside, outward circumstances, but doubt is to do with our inward feelings. And doubt drains us of God's peace. So to the story of Thomas, doubting Thomas, voted unanimously the world over as the patron saint of doubters. And notice how Thomas states categorically his doubts. In verse 25, he says to his friends, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, Christ's hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." And then subsequently to this doubter, Christ appears and says, verse 26, "Peace be with you. Stop doubting and believe." So faith is the way to peace. And I think that Thomas deep down wanted to believe, as many people do today. Somebody last week said these very words to me. Not somebody who's attended the Inquirer's class, but somebody I'm seeing from time to time, and somebody who's got lots of questions. And at the end of an hour's discussion, he looked me straight in the face, and I think I noticed his eyes were filling up, and he said, "I want to believe. Where do I go from here?" Thomas was not, I think, a willing doubter. He probably was introspective by nature, with a tendency to be gloomy and pessimistic. He would probably have been a believer in Murphy's Law, which states if something can go wrong, it will. And this pessimism was compounded by isolationism. Did you notice that he stayed at home instead of joining with the other believers on the previous Sunday? And incidentally, can I say here that there are Christian people who stay away from church because they're feeling down, and like Thomas, they perhaps miss the very message that's for them to help them. Thomas missed it that Sunday, for he did want, I believe, faith and peace. But there next Sunday, Christ made himself known to him. And I suppose that Thomas was genuinely surprised by Christ's sudden appearance. But I think he was also very surprised by the clear fact that Jesus seemed to have overheard his previous conversation with his friends when there seemed to be nobody else in the room. Because now Jesus appears and repeats the very words that Thomas had spoken before. "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side." The very words he'd use. Gosh, Jesus had overheard. And so the other world was closer than he'd thought. What a surprise. There was a man whose wife had died. And sometime afterwards, he met a man in the street who didn't know that. And the man in the street asked him how his wife was. And the man replied, "Oh, she's gone to heaven." Not quite knowing how to respond to that, the man in the street thought of saying, "I'm sorry," but maybe that didn't quite fit. Then he thought of saying, "I'm glad," but that didn't quite fit. So in a welter of confusion, he blurted out, "I'm surprised." And when the other world draws near to us, There are surprises. When Christ seems to know what's happening in our lives, and even to know the very words that we are speaking, then it's very disconcerting. Some people have said in church, how did the preacher know what was going on in my life? And the answer is, he didn't know, but Christ knew and knows. And when Christ addresses us in that very personal way, it's not just to surprise us, but it's to offer us faith and peace. So notice the two things that arise from the encounter between Thomas and Jesus. There is the provision, and secondly, the profession. First of all, the provision of peace. Peace be with you. Now, shalom is the word often used in the same way as we use hello. But there's more to shalom than this. It was never used in a flippant manner, and it did not mean hi. It was a serious greeting, wishing you God's peace. That's to say, shalom was much more than the absence of stress. But it had to do with life at its best under the hand of God. And that's what Jesus Christ offered to Thomas. And it was new peace that he was offering in these Easter days. Jesus brings this greeting and brings this offer three times in this section of this Easter chapter. Notice in verse 19, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, peace be with you. Verse 21, again Jesus said, peace be with you. And then in verse 26, Jesus stood amongst them and said, peace be with you. So this is brand new peace. This is Easter peace. This is gospel peace. And this offer of peace is being made for the very first time in the history of the world. The offer of true and lasting peace. Because Jesus has bought that peace for those who believe. That's why he says to them, see my hands. It's as though he's saying, see the marks of my atoning death. See, he could have said, my feet. See my head. See my side. See, as it were, my body which was broken to buy peace in dying for your sins. As many will remember, Jesus' last cry on the cross was, and he did it with a loud voice, it really was a cry of triumph. You remember that shout from the cross? It is finished. Now in the original, it would have been just one word that Jesus shouted at the end. Finished! And literally the word means the price has been paid. And so shalom on Easter evening is the equivalent of finished on Good Friday. Jesus brings this peace, this new offer of true and lasting peace with God for this life and for the life to come. And only Christ has peace to give. Down the centuries and across the nations, there have been millions who have recognized that Jesus alone has it and gives it to those who ask for it. True peace, pardon with God, the peace of God which passes all understanding, which will guard hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lasting peace, which survives all the troubles and trials and testings of this life and takes us to heaven. And only Jesus Christ can bring that peace into the very hearts, souls and lives of people, men and women, boys and girls. Oh, to be sure, there is a kind of superficial fake peace that's on offer and has been down the centuries, peace that's offered today by various gurus and sects, philosophies and beliefs of all kinds. There's an article in one of our news magazines by a man called Patrick West the other week, It was all about our society becoming a fake society. And he started the article by saying, "We inhabit a world of imitation in which we are no longer certain what is real." And he gave examples of fakes in this realm and this sphere and the next. And he said, particularly in the world of art, is there a fake culture? And he instanced one famous art forger who has become a star in his own right. And his fake Picassos are so sought after that they are now being faked. So genuine fake begets fake, fake. And in this world there is fake peace and fake, fake peace. And it always has been on offer. Way back in the ancient days of the Old Testament, that great prophet Jeremiah observed it in the society of his day as he saw much outward religiosity, and he had to stand up and shout and say, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace, when there is no peace. And only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, offers that which the human soul needs, true and lasting peace. Without that which Christ brings, there will be only something which might be superficial serenity to see through life. And after this life, according to the Bible, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But Jesus offers to doubters today, and to all and sundry, this peace which is true and lasting. He says, "Peace be with you." Stop doubting and believe. There's the provision of peace, and that leads to the profession of faith that Thomas makes in verse 28, and it is a tremendous profession. It's really very ironic, isn't it? That the man who's regarded as the greatest doubter in the New Testament should give the greatest profession of faith in the New Testament. "My Lord and my God." It's an acknowledgement of Jesus' deity, and it was made in a hostile world where other deities were acknowledged. Now, John, the writer of this gospel, lived in Ephesus, and John would have been very familiar in Ephesus of processions through the streets and people chanting their slogans, "Caesar is Lord, Caesar is God." And over against that, this believer acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus is God. And I think very clearly the challenge today is to take up this fearless profession in the face of many professions to other lords and deities in our society, because let's not be mistaken, Caesar worship is not dead, and the false deities are still chanted in our streets. In a Maori poll conducted for the Sunday Telegraph, it was revealed that from a list of famous people, only 1% of people in Britain cited Jesus as being inspirational. 6% opted for Britney Spears, 51% for Richard Branson, and 65% for Nelson Mandela, but only 1% for Jesus Christ. Caesar worship is not dead, and so our profession of faith is made in a world of hostility, a world that denies the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so what a challenge, isn't it? What a challenge in these days in which we live to stand up and be counted in our atheistic age, to nail our colors to the mast and to profess, "My Lord and my God." But what exactly is this Christian faith, some might be asking here? How do you come to it? How is it that those nine people have come to stand and profess faith this morning? Well, as I draw to a close, let me give you the ABC of faith. A. You must accept the facts of Jesus Christ. His coming, his claims, his works, his death, and his resurrection. Ah, but somebody says, how can I do that? I am not going to have some kind of strange encounter like Thomas did. I'm not going to have some vision or some sudden appearance of deity before me. No, but the answer is given to your objection in verse 31, where Jesus says, these things are written that you may believe. What we need are the Gospels and the Scriptures. That is sufficient to accept the facts of Jesus Christ. You must have the Bible taught on a Sunday. You must read the Bible, and as you do, you will find it has the ring of truth. That's what happened with these people who are coming to profess faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Accept. B. Believe in Jesus personally. And you say, well, here I'm like Thomas, and that's the problem. For me, seeing is believing. Thomas saw and believed. How do you answer that? And I answer that by saying, well, what did Jesus say in verse 29? He takes the very opposite line, doesn't he? Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that's not really too hard. There are many things in life that we believe but don't see. And all the facts of Jesus Christ have been proclaimed down 20 centuries and more, many in different cultures, many with different colors, and many in different circumstances have come to believe in this Jesus Christ whom they have not seen. They have found the ring of truth in the gospel message, and it is absolutely indispensable to believe in Jesus personally for yourself if you're to have Christian faith. Accept, believe, see, commit yourself to him. And at this point, as you entrust yourself to Jesus, he becomes your Savior and Lord. And it's very personal, isn't it? Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And I was thinking that this profession of Thomas's is very similar to the profession that these nine people are going to make. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and God as your Father, and the Holy Spirit as the one who has come to indwell you? I do. My Lord, my God. You see how personal it is? It's the personal pronoun that counts. Not is Jesus the Savior of the world, but is Jesus your Savior and Lord? Can you sing from the heart that which we're going to do in just a moment or two? Mine, mine, mine. I know thou art mine. My Lord and my God, what a tremendous profession. That is absolutely momentous. The angels and the archangels and the hosts of heaven would be peering in at this service this morning to see something with such everlasting repercussions taking place, excited and thrilled, because it brings glory to the Lord of heaven, their Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, and a profession which brings benefits and blessings, because faith is the way to peace. It is only faith in Christ which brings true and lasting peace. So here's a word for doubters this morning, and for all of us, to humble ourselves, to confess our need, to turn to Christ, to acknowledge Him as Lord and God, and yield our lives to Him. Yield them, hand them over, submit to Him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Will you accept this free gift today as never before? Let's pray together. Our gracious God and risen Lord, the one who knows us through and through, knows the struggles, the longings and yearnings of our heart, the one who understands and is patient and kindly, the one who has purchased that great provision for our souls and lives, we come to praise you for that which you have done, and to ask that you give to us a fresh openness to that offer today. Where there is doubt, come, O God, with the word by the Spirit, and write its truth upon our inward souls. There may be numbers here, and perhaps all of us to some degree or another, who are saying like the man in the Gospels, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And come and do that, even that just now, for nothing is too hard to you to create faith where there is none in this congregation amongst individuals this day. Lord, we thank you for those who have come to that faith and pray your special blessing upon them now, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.